Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. I'm Matthew Casanelli, and I'm here to help teach automation to everyone.
And I'm Greg Pierce, the developer behind Drafts.
Greg, welcome to the show. It is awesome to have you on here.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I've been a huge fan of Drafts for years, and today I wanted to have you on the show to talk kind of about the place of X callback URL in the transition from iOS 12 to iOS 13 and sort of the history of your involvement in it and sort of how that started this kind of automation world up, and then maybe where it's going into the future and anything you're doing with Drafts.
Great. Dive right in.
Sure. Sounds good. I think the big thing is like, who are you and what is your history with development and automation?
Well, I have a company called Agile Tortoise. I formed probably around, 13, 14 years ago now, originally to do software consulting. And over time, I've transitioned into doing products when the App Store came around. I built several apps early on in the early days of the App Store, some of which are still around, some not. But I do full-time now pretty much Drafts, which has been around since 2012 and has been through several iterations and upgrades and is, you know, I hope well known to your listeners. I expect so. Definitely. It's kind of one of the keystone apps in automation on iOS. I relaunched it last year with a free version and a pro subscription, and that's kind of enabled me to make Drafts more or less my full-time job. And it's great to know that there's a community out there that's supporting these kind of apps on iOS.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear.
And, Drafts originally, the app itself, the concept was to be a place you start text, this to launch something on your device to jot things down and do stuff with it later. And over time, it's kind of grown and people use it for a lot of different things now. It's no longer just that simple concept, but from day one, it was an app that was about automation and about making things easier and saving you steps on your devices. And over time, it's just kind of grown, and the technologies needed to support that have been something I've supported, which is where URL schemes come in and X callback and such. Just kind of exploring ways to make Drafts more useful, not just Drafts, my other apps too, but more powerful and more useful, and kind of build that burgeoning automation opportunity on iOS.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's definitely one of the first apps that helped me kind of wrap my head around the benefits of automation on iOS. And especially at the time, there wasn't even like a share sheet or anything like that. So it, in many ways, for a lot of people who were into this, it was the only way you could do stuff. So I guess for anybody who doesn't necessarily know, I want to like back out just a little bit of the concept of deep linking and URL schemes on iOS, because I think a lot of times I do think it just sounds more complicated than what it actually is. Like in the same way, just for anyone who doesn't know, in the same way you visit a website and go to http://google.com, on iOS, you can, instead of making an HTTP request, you can use the app's name or some sort of identifier for that app in order to, in a very simple way, just open that app. But then also, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I've always developed this from a layman's position. But then with URL schemes, apps are able to, in addition to just opening the app, they can append information that people can click on, and then it'll move that information into that app. Is that a summary way of saying it? I was a little stumbled out.
I mean, sure. I mean, if you get it down to the basics and you unpack the terms, I mean, a URL is a uniform resource locator, right? Mm-hmm. And conceptually, that specification for URLs was developed to support a lot of different things. Now, we most commonly associate them with the web, but that's one specific scheme, HTTP, or HTTPS. But they've from day one been used for all sorts of other things like FTP colon slash slash as a scheme to allow people to do FTP.
And that's file transfer protocols.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know.
Most systems have supported a mail to colon link where you can click on a link to open up a email message, right? So there's always been different uses of those on system from early on. Mm-hmm. And even in iOS on day one, iPhone OS 1 had URL scheme support, and the system itself used them for a variety of things like those mail to links. So you're on a web page and you want to be able to click on an email address and send an email, or the TEL was the telephone URL scheme. And that's how it works on web pages. If you have a phone number there in Safari and you click on it, it opens the TEL colon phone number URL scheme, which launches the phone app and sends that phone number along with it. And you can, as applications, register your own custom URL schemes, which is to say, you know, I drafts registers drafts colon slash slash, you know, so that if someone clicks on a link that starts with that, it'll launch that app and the app gets handed the URL, the complete URL string with the path. And you can include query arguments, you know, for the less technical types, you know, you see a question mark and then a set of keyword values, you know, something equals something type things that get passed in a URL. You cannot do the more complicated things that HTTP can do to post data and like submit forms and things like that. But anything that can be put into a string in a URL gets passed on to that next app and it can figure out what it wants to do with that as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the original concept and implementation was mostly for deep linking, you know, things like being able to click and go directly to a specific email message in email, or, you know, to a specific web page in a browser or two things. But there's nothing that prevented you from doing other more clever things with that information that got passed along. And since there were no other convenient ways to pass data between apps on iOS due to sandboxing and the lack of a exposed file system with shared spaces, things like that, there really was no good way to programmatically interact between apps. So people started playing with these URL schemes to implement different sorts of actions. And early on, there were apps implementing things even like in the early days, the Twitter apps supported a slash compose URL that allowed it you to launch Twitter directly to creating a new tweet. Even the Facebook app had a bunch of ones that would let you go to specific places in the app that they used themselves to help transition between the web and their app and, you know, things like that. Some of them weren't public or published specs or anything. They were just things that the services themselves implemented to use.
So would you say it's true that, like, even today, that's what they're using in the, just like in the code of the app to open those different pages is just a deep link in the same way?
Yeah. I mean, from a technical standpoint, we have universal links in more recent versions of iOS that allow an HTTP link to open an app because of the way you've registered that with the system and with some files you put up on the web in the right place and stuff. But I think that's still a lot of probably the primary use of URLs is to do that kind of deep linking. But what was happening is as people either published or didn't publish these different functions and other apps tried to use them and things came along like early launchers like Launch Center and apps like Drafts that tried to use these different things, we started to publish and have actions that we wanted to make available as services to people, right?
So from other apps, you include their URL schemes in your app so that like the users of Drafts could take advantage of that without having to know that Twitter had a URL scheme already.
Right. And essentially, the early actions in Drafts that supported URLs let you construct a URL that some data was dynamically inserted in, usually the text of the draft you were working on to pass it off to another app, say to Twitterific or to the Twitter app in a Compose window or to a note. And as more people started to experiment with that, a couple things became clear. One, it was a bit of a wild west, like because there was no rules around how you built those URLs, every app that was implementing them was doing it very differently. Mm-hmm. Some, you know, expected an action to be encoded in a query parameter. Some expected the action to be part of the URL path or some. So to understand and utilize these things, you needed very specific documentation from the different developers. And, you know, you never really knew what was and wasn't supported and mm-hmm. stuff. And that was that and the ability to pass data back and forth were the two inspirations behind xcallback URL, which took it to another level by standardizing the way you would construct the URLs so that, you know, every app that implemented xcallback URL would have a pretty standard way of taking parameters and specifying what action so that the URLs look similar between apps, even if the actual actions that were supported were slightly different. And the other thing was to support callbacks, which was to allow you to pass as an argument in the URL another URL, which was to say, once you've done what I've asked you to do, open this URL, right? Mm-hmm. So that you could then return to the original app or chain it along to another app or whatever was appropriate to what you were trying to accomplish.
And so this was kind of the first way to interlink two apps, not just in like one direction, but go into one and then
right
something happens, and then either you could like go back or go into a different app and just keep going.
Yeah,
much like how Shortcuts does stuff today, but it also opens the app.
Yeah, and the first the literal first implementation of it was in my dictionary app terminology, and this was slightly before Drafts, or right around the time Drafts was coming out, and I was working on. You know, there was no system dictionary at the time, and I was looking at ways to integrate with other apps so that you could look up a word in my dictionary and then be able to go back to where you started. And I worked with Marco Arment, who at the time was developing Instapaper and had implemented some dictionary-related things in his app and was open to other opportunities. And we worked together and developed the actual xcallback URL spec and implemented in the two apps such that you could select a word in something you were reading in Instapaper and say, look up in terminology. It would open the URL to go launch terminology and have it look up a specific word. And in addition, it supported the callback so that in terminology, you then got a button to go back to Instapaper when you were done reading the definition, and you end up right back where you began. That sounds less exciting now mm-hmm. because so many things have since been implemented in the OS to make some of those things easier. But if you think about it at the time, there was no multitasking tray. There was no convenience button like you get now in the upper left-hand corner to go back to the last mm-hmm. app you were in.
Era was this?
This would have been iOS 3-ish. Oh,
man. I didn't know it was that early.
Yeah. And so this provided you an easy way. Because without that, if you wanted to look up that word, you would have had to select it in Instapaper, copy it to your clipboard, hit your home button, go find terminology, launch terminology, paste it into the search, select the word. And then when you were done, if you wanted to go back to Instapaper, you had to hit the home button, go find the Instapaper app again, and launch it.
I don't know. That doesn't seem too bad. especially compared to what we have coming in iOS 13 of like NFC tag automations for shortcuts. It's like miles apart right now. But yeah. That is like, it's still the same concept of like not having to tap 30 times on your tiny little phone, and it just kind of goes.
Right. And, you know, as the possibilities became clear, as apps like Drafts and stuff started to show what you could do with these URL schemes, you know, that really picked up in the community. And that's where it hit critical mass. Once you had the top 20 or 30 kind of productivity apps had all implemented URL schemes, then you had a whole lot you could work with that worked together and could chain things together and do stuff just to make your life a whole lot easier. And I think that's where it really took off and people like Federico got into it and started to show people the possibilities.
I was one of those people because it totally was like, I would go to my day job in San Francisco, but on BART in and out of the city, I was like building my own URL schemes and X callback URLs to try to automate this stuff altogether. So thank you, because you totally got me into this realm because of that.
Yeah, and I think that's where the Shortcuts team kind of got started with workflow too, is that they were taking it to the next level and saying, hey, this is great that you can do this stuff, but it's kind of hard to use right now. You know, actually coding those URLs was still pretty clunky and fiddly and difficult for a lot of people to use. And they kind of took it to the next level and said, let's make a user interface to make it more convenient and easier to string together these kind of functions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I'm still impressed at their ingenuity at the beginning, because I definitely joined in because workflow was the first type of thing to make that. I mean, you were right, of abstracting that URL system into just like actions that you could look at and toggle little things. And then that would basically be recreating the URL in the background that you would end up using. And like, I definitely was into the URL schemes, but yeah, just building them is like, I would spend all my time creating one or two as opposed to going into workflow and then taking those and like building chain after chain after chain.
Mm-hmm. But what it comes down to is ultimately all that stuff with URL schemes was a workaround. It was powerful and it had a lot of possibilities, but it really existed due to the lack of a better system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's exciting to see what's going on with Shortcuts being rolled into the OS. And, you know, the limited stuff we got in iOS 12 was not that powerful, but the parameterization of it all that they've introduced for iOS 13 really finally kind of brings to fruition that level of service at the iOS level. And it has a lot of advantages over URL schemes in terms of security and, simplicity.
Because that's it. Security seems to be a big thing that I think just Apple in general has been trying to address over the years, is that you could tap a link like this and it could enter information into an app that you didn't necessarily know that was happening. Or it's kind of just like any information that the app doesn't really, like iOS is already locked down enough that it's not the same as something like your normal computer being open to anything. But it really, there was potential for confusion a lot of times. I think especially just on iPhone, like if you use a computer, you might be used to that type of thing. But this really was out of character for iOS, which was very simple and locked down.
Right. And there, you know, a lot of the things in URL schemes were pretty harmless. But, you know, if you click on the wrong deep link, it's not that big a deal. But as apps started to implement, you know, destructive actions or whatever, things that could alter some of your data or potentially delete it or things like that, you don't necessarily want that out there open for someone to exploit.
Just by tapping it once, yeah.
You know, and you would, if a developer implemented something like a delete all URL scheme that opened your app and deleted all your data, well, that would be a very irresponsible developer to leave something like that open. But, you know, it's also something that could have existed and could have been exploited if someone found out about it. So it's better to have a more consistent system in place. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, I feel like to some extent, X callback URL is Sherlocked by Shortcuts now that they've added this functionality, but I'm great with that. I'm happy with it. I think there's still some places that we need to get to the next level, but I expect in another year we'll get those things. Like right now, you are kind of stuck with the Shortcuts app. Now that we can pass data back and forth between apps and provide services and Shortcuts, we also need a way for, say, third-party apps to be able to trigger Shortcuts, which you can do now, and you can still do in iOS via URL scheme.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
which is great, and I'm glad that's still there. But you know, it'd be nice if there was a more locked down and programmatic way to do that, which I'm sure will come.
Like Drafts being able to run shortcuts directly, yeah. And less of, because you would still, I think one of the big things that Workflow did and URL schemes was that when it would trigger these things, it would open the app that it had to send the link into. And what's changing in shortcuts slowly over time, but is that now those apps won't use URL schemes. They will just, because there's a system service that the apps can take advantage of, it can just happen and then go into that app on its own without actually physically changing the screen.
Right, right. I mean, the new shortcuts I've implemented in Drafts in the betas, you know, that'll ship this fall, allow you to get drafts, set the content of drafts, create them, append to them without ever opening the app. You'll never see the Drafts interface pop up on screen when you run that shortcut.
It's almost like another notes repository at that point, a little bit, but you have your own features too, which is, that is going to be great, because I'm still so excited to even just Draft specifically, but every other app too is going to be super powerful. I'll admit I will miss one of the cool things that I do think got me hooked into Workflow back in the day was the fact that it opened into the other app, almost because for me, being a non-programmer and like learning this, it's more scripting, I would say, less than programming, but like doing that stuff and then physically watching my iPad switch between apps and do it, like, it was not exactly the nicest experience and a little confusing, but I thought it was so cool to just be able to like push one button and then watch as it did that stuff. I think now it'll be supplanted by, you just tell Siri, and that's the cool part because it all just happens. But I'll eventually miss the, like, I think I had an iPad Workflow that ran for like an hour straight and would open and go back and forth and back and forth. And I was doing some test, but it was like, it felt so like I am in control of this computer, whereas I never was before. And I'm hoping shortcuts can capture that for a lot of people too.
Yeah, I see that. I could see how the visual element of it is very satisfying to some extent. And you literally see the series of commands you created play out in front of you.
Yeah. And it, like, for me, it had always been like a bunch of code that you compile and run and does stuff, never seemed that approachable to me. But then it was especially like URL schemes, and then it was kind of like, just take an internet link that you use and recreate it for the app according to this spec. And then you can also chain them together. And I think the chaining part did start to lose me eventually, because you would have to like double encode like links in order to have them work in that main link. And it would just be like a giant link that's like 1,000 characters long or something like that.
And you would have to work in multiple apps, right? You'd have to start in, say, Launch Center and have it launch Drafts and do something. And then there'd have to be some action in Drafts that was configured to go launch Workflow or, you know, whatever. But there was a lot of unnecessary complexity for sure. And having it all go through one central hub like Shortcuts will hopefully ease adoption of it. And it's always, you know, when it comes down to it, it's going to be a small but dedicated percent of the overall user base of iPhones who take advantage of this kind of stuff. But for the people who are trying to do more with their, you know, phones and iPads, especially, it's really going to be super powerful.
I have a question about that, because I'm curious, are you referring specifically to like building shortcuts versus using them? Because that's one thing that, I think from Workflow days, it was more of building them, but I'm curious what it will be like for people who just want to download a bunch and use them and never actually even look inside under the hood.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I think that there's some varieties of shortcuts that, you know, can be shared and be useful out of the box to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I I think most people who get into this kind of stuff and use those things are the kind of people who are not going to use those as is. Like, they may find something in the gallery that's a good starting point and then tweak it a little. Like, maybe they found the thing that gives them their morning summary, you know, that every morning when their alarm goes off, bring me up the weather and my today's calendar events or something like that. And then they're going to look at it and go, well, you know, I'd really rather also have this piece of information there, or I don't care about this piece. And they'll start tweaking those things and getting in there and learning how to use shortcuts.
But crafting an API call from scratch might not be in their wheelhouse.
No, probably not. But you'll have to do that less because, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
The apps will provide some of those services and you don't need to take it to that level.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I'm kind of trying to grapple with right now is the shortcuts that I have that already use URL schemes and how I'm going to, like, hopefully those apps are on top of it and are adopting these Siri shortcuts APIs right away for the new iOS 13 release. Because that's one thing that I'm worried about is that developers are going to be making their iPad app for the Mac and then not focus on the Siri shortcuts, and all of the people will be like, ah, but that's, I don't know. It's a whole,
yeah.
Working at Workflow taught me a little bit about the development process and how complicated that could be, which is mad respect, by the way.
Yeah. And I think some of the things, it's often the indies obviously tend to get on this stuff quicker, but some of the big corporate type apps will be slower to adopt them. And in some cases, those are the ones you probably want to see it from most. I mean, the example they use for ordering soup at WWDC, their shortcut sample app they keep bringing back. And that's the kind of stuff that, like the Starbucks app or things like that, that, you know, people are going to want to see integrated. And that stuff will be slowed, I'm sure, for a variety of reasons, just because everything happens slower at that kind of corporate level. And they have other restrictions. Some of them are using cross-platform frameworks and things like that that don't easily adopt the native things quite as quickly.
I've got to get out my flag and start waving it of like, please adopt these. I have a question about drafts and how you chose to create your Siri shortcuts actions. Do you call them by anything also? Because I'm kind of making up my own term. I call them Siri shortcuts actions now, I think, is the easiest way to describe it.
Yeah, but I'm a little confused on the terminology. Apple, they kind of shifted the terminology at DubDub this year from what they had used in the prior years. And I don't know what we're supposed to call them anymore.
Yeah. In theory, they're all just normal actions in the shortcuts app, and it just happens to tap into your app. So I am calling them the shortcut itself, and then the step in it isn't...
On the developer end, they're called intents, which no one would understand what that possibly means. But I haven't finished, you know, I'm still kind of planning what I'm doing with iOS 13, and I've implemented a lot of the core ones, which seem like the obvious things for drafts, you know, to be able to work with your notes database through these actions, you know, to be able to create append, prepend drafts, and query drafts to get your data out to use somewhere else. So I've implemented the ability to, you know, do arbitrary queries based on search terms or tags, and sort them the way you want them, or based on workspaces, which is the built-in feature in drafts to create those kind of filters for your drafts. So I tried to expose all that functionality. And I'm still kind of open-ended, and I expect there'll be two rounds of stuff that what comes out on day one with iOS 13 and drafts, and then what I come out with 2-3 months later when I get feedback from users saying, boy, I wish I could also do this or that.
That's one thing that is, it is fascinating that I do feel like there'll be a certain amount of ideas for how you use shortcuts that does come from the community for like every development team, because just by nature, there are a lot of people interested in doing very specific things that you just don't do yourself in your daily life. It should be, it'll be fascinating. Like, everybody is wants all this stuff from Shortcuts also itself. And it's like, yeah, that's a great idea. I think one thing I do want to, like, I personally want to try to help other developers figure out what types of actions to make, because I did just kind of, there is like a general style of actions in the Shortcuts app already. Like you were saying, querying drafts, a lot of actions in Shortcuts are called like find something or get something out, where you're getting the data. And then there's kind of the step of acting on it in the process of the shortcut. And then the last one generally is like sending it out to somewhere else. And so you were saying a lot of the, you have the query and then running drafts actions using shortcuts, and then also just opening slash sharing into drafts itself. So that seems like it is like, I might even be forgetting some, and I'll send you some feedback too if I come across any ideas.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it'll come in time. You know, I think it's also a mistake to dive in too quickly on some of these things and paint yourself in a corner. Like, you know, sometimes it's you want to be there on day one with the most possible shortcuts available. And then you may find some of those ones you built weren't really necessary or would have been better structured a different way. And it's good to kind of learn and let people use it and get feedback before you dive too far into the deep end.
Yeah, that's fair. As much as I do want it all on day one, I just want my cake and to eat it too.
Yeah,
I do. I like you said, I'd rather have them be right and work in a way that's useful in the long term. But I think it is. I think the test and learn process makes a lot of sense too, because it's pretty complicated stuff. And it's also, especially for developers, it seems like a whole new mindset that you would have assumed would never ever be possible before, or in a very limited way. And then I feel like they like kicked the door open, but then like didn't guide people through the door. So it'll be an interesting adoption process.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see a lot of transition over the coming years too. I don't know where Apple's going with stuff like, you know, Swift UI is the future, but it's going to be a few years before many people are adopting on any broad scale. You've got Project Catalyst bringing stuff to the Mac, but the Shortcuts isn't there. So, you know, there's a different automation story on the Mac, and it has its own history. And at some point, some of those things are going to have to merge to make sense.
So you were saying before that there's some stuff that you want Shortcuts to adopt next year. What are those?
I mean, specifically the thing that's top of my list is what I mentioned before, is the way to trigger shortcuts programmatically. You know, right now I can use a URL scheme to open Shortcuts app and trigger a shortcut by name and pass some text into it via URL parameters. But I'd like to have support for the same kind of depth that the Siri parameters provide, which support more data types, you know, the ability to pass in dictionaries of data, things like that.
Just real quick, are you talking about Siri as its own thing or the Siri Shortcuts APIs?
The Shortcuts APIs. Okay.
Just because Siri itself can do like a whole other level on top of add this note to my draft, which Shortcuts can't do. And some people are definitely, oh gosh, I need to not use the trigger phrase. Well, that happens all the time on the show.
Yeah. I mean, Siri is, I don't know. From my point of view, Siri is a gateway to trigger shortcuts, right?
Yeah.
And I have personally never had much luck interacting with voice agents. So they're not a big part of my life. Beyond the very simple commands like starting timers and creating a simple reminder for something, I've never found it useful. And I think especially you get into these parameterized things where you're going through a multi-step conversation with Siri, it's more prone to error and frustration, I think. Mm-hmm. And there's some people I know that works for and that flow is very easy for, and certainly there's accessibility implications and all to being able to interact that way. But ultimately, it the way the shortcuts and the parameters are built, you get that for free. You know, if you've built these out, you can do it with the voice or you can do it in the shortcuts app, you know, and configure those parameters yourself. Either way, that works for you. So,
yeah, that's something I think I mentioned on this show, but like, isn't, I feel like that's something that's hard to communicate. And that is where a lot of the power comes from, is that when you build your actions for shortcuts, every little detail that you can change on that action is what you can also utilize in Siri. And yeah, I agree. It's like, I mean, I even personally, I don't run my life by talking to my HomePod all day or something like that. That it's definitely not there. I like practice. So that's, I think, maybe why I got more is like, I started to see that this was becoming more of a thing. And so it's like learning how to issue your command and then not forget what you were going to say by the time you get to the next step. Or like, especially that's one thing I've always done trying to build my shortcuts is when it gives you a prompt, the language that it uses helps you keep the context. It's not just like, what do you want to do? It's like, what do you want to do with this text or something that helps you actually get through that Siri experience without getting frustrated, because I've had plenty of those too.
Yeah.
One thing I also would love is the whole, this is why I'm curious about what I think X callback URL in the future is deprecated, mostly of like, you can use this stuff to do the same functionality. I do wish deep linking on its own was still better and more prevalent. Like I've totally noticed that if you put deep links into reminders, they will like populate as kind of those little reminders. What do you call them? Like the little pill shaped icons that like display the rich card of information from the web. But I would love for like deep links to turn into like those little pills that you could use anywhere on iOS and still jump in deep into your action, but not be using like unique IDs in the string or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it's, I mean, for the web stuff, I'm excited to see more adoption. I haven't seen a lot of talk about it in the press, but they did introduce APIs at WWDC for essentially mimicking the functionality you get with Notes, where it builds the preview of a link for you and lets you pop those up and stuff. So I look forward to seeing more of that in more apps. But that's still all going through the web, not directly through apps.
Yeah, exactly. Like local, that stuff would be good. So I'll file my radars.
Absolutely. Your feedbacks, you mean?
Yes, of course. Those, plenty of those so far. So is there anything you'd want to share about drafts or what you're doing in the future or anything like that?
Well, I mean, drafts is becoming more and more of a platform. You know, we've been talking mostly about iOS and, you know, this show's mostly focused on that, but I've also brought it to the Mac. And
yes, which I'm using right now.
And, you know, I'm moving forward quickly with getting actions on the Mac version as well, you know, so that you have the full level of functionality on both platforms. And I'm excited about that. You know, things always slow down on those projects over the summer because there's a lot of catch up to do just with the OS compatibility and features and things that need to come out. But, you know, hopefully later this year, I'll be shipping the Mac version with actions as well, which kind of takes the whole platform to another level. That's what, you know, where I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think my personal problem is that just that there's so much with drafts that I'm also trying to do so much with shortcuts that, and the overlap can be like pretty similar sometimes, but I've been getting set up with some stuff that's been, especially with the automations coming into shortcuts, that's where it will really enable me to do all that anyways, because it's just fast now.
Well, we have a very rich ecosystem for automation on iOS now between apps like Shortcuts and the integration it provides at the system level, apps like Drafts and like Scriptable that have more, you know, of a written JavaScript focus, Pythonista as well, for people who like to work in different ways and for tasks that are best done and directly in a programming language versus drag and drop. And you can integrate all those things now. And that's, you know, that's pretty exciting to just be able to patch those things together.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe you're not a coder, but having, you know, someone will write a library for Scriptable or for Drafts or something to process text that you'll be able to take advantage of just by, you know, dropping those bits into shortcuts and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be so good. I think it probably does come down to me being embarrassed that I don't know how to code, like, actually, and I've learned everything through shortcuts, but that is just the...
It's not as intimidating as you think, really. I mean, I first did serious programming in a business environment in FileMaker Pro. And I don't know if you've ever used FileMaker Pro, but it is, you know, almost a beautiful prototype of what things like Automator and shortcuts became, because it has a drag and drop point and click script editor where, you know, it looks like code in an outline, but you get it all there by point and click and modifying variables in a little editor and stuff. And, you know, you start with that and then you see the code laid out. And I think that's kind of what people are excited about with Swift UI as well, is because it helps bridge the gap between design and code and lets you look back and forth and see those things. You would be surprised if you got a book like Eloquent JavaScript and read through it, how much you actually understand just from doing the stuff in shortcuts. You know, the control flow functions and things like that are the same. It's just a matter of whether you're typing them out or not.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm a programmer. I'm not a coder per se, because I'm not typing code. I am still building the programs. But it is like, a lot of times for me, the logic and the flow of it is, that's the thing. The coding is almost like the implementation of it. But that's totally true. Like, I'm excited that shortcuts is also just easier to read, because I kind of was like working with it with my dad, who has been an engineer for 20 years. And he was like, yeah, you know, programming, like,
yeah, absolutely.
In case he was like, that thing that you're doing with dictionary values is called encapsulation. And I'm like, so much of what I learned, I'm like, I didn't even know I was doing programming. I was just repeating with each, not performing a for loop or something. But that's, I'll have to find the right time to dig into it, but I'll be building some Drafts actions myself. I'll say by the end of the year, I'm going to put a stake in the ground.
There you go.
Well, awesome. This has been a great interview. I'm super excited to see what you're doing with Drafts, and both in shortcuts and cross-platform stuff. I'm glad you've been doing it, because you've been like, it has been like my little home base of like, probably almost everything I've done has gone through Drafts at some point, starting out there, or I use the dictation stuff all the time. I love that. Your dictations is way better than anything else right now. So maybe that's where I should start with your shortcut sections.
Well, that's great to hear. I think that I hear that from a lot of people, and there's people who never quite click with Drafts, but the ones who do click with it, it's just kind of a reshapes the way you approach your device to always go there first with things.
Because it's so, I mean, yeah, I feel like we didn't even like pitch that of, it is so much of, you can just open your phone and then it always opens to a blank draft. And then you type before you forget what you were going to do. Because that's always my thing, is it's like 10 taps into your phone. You're like, what was I even doing right now? And then because of the extensibility of Drafts, you can have a little sidebar that you pull over and send it out. I think I will go through often and like take notes over time in different Drafts. And then your merge feature and like rearrange lines is all amazing. So this is... in general, this stuff always gets me excited, because it's like, this is what I wanted when I first heard of Drafts, and now it's coming to fruition in ways that like I would have never even imagined. So it's an exciting time.
It is.
I'm glad to hear the subscription thing is going really well too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should sign up who's listening to this show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. There's always the transition to subscriptions was always an interesting one. And I hope at least I handled it gracefully. And I think for the most part, it's a matter of deciding, you know, what user base you want. And you know, and there's a generous free version that you can use forever and do an awful lot with.
Yeah, that's true too.
To support apps like this, if you want them to exist on devices, you know, it's not that much to ask to chip in a little once a year
for sure
to keep these things going because they're not free.
It's like, I mean, even I would say, like, for me at least, Drafts was never even a question because it is like this can provide so much utility.
And I think I love the way changing to subscription has changed the way I approach the app because there's no longer this, oh, I've got to go build a big version to sell an upgrade of it 2 years from now and all. I just get releases out all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no reason to hold on to things. It's just about delivering new bug fixes and new features and value as quickly as possible. It's a great way to work and always be pushing new things out there and always been staying on top of the new technologies and stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. It's been awesome learning about this all from the source because I always like, I know it, of course, I have to know it being who I am, but it is, I've always been concerned that there's just like a little detail that maybe I misinterpreted or something, but well, I guess now it no longer matters.
No, you're doing fine. I mean, you and Alex, who's obviously out this time, but your enthusiasm over the automation stuff, I think really helps a lot of people get familiar and get comfortable with messing around with it.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I don't think so. You can always find me at getdrafts.com or Agile Tortoise on the web or Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah, I love the Agile Tortoise. It's such a good name too. All right, this has been another episode of Supercomputer. See you later, nerds.